WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden McGuirk, here with Rennell Foreman. Talking a little college football now. Man, this was a little more of an exciting weekend than I thought. Obviously, we got to start off. Alabama routes the University of Louisiana Monroe 63-7. I feel bad for ULM. They kind of got some of Saban's wrath after the really poor showing in Austin of last weekend. But offense performed slightly better, fewer penalties. I don't know. What was your impression of the team after this game?
I believe the team, they looked dominant the way they should have after performance that they had. And they've got to continue to look this way. Obviously, there's things that we need to improve, but the only time will tell. But we have Vanderbilt coming up 6:30, so you know, just move forward. It was a great showing by the guys.
Yep, kicking off SEC play. Obviously, we have Vanderbilt 3-1 right now under second year head coach Clark Lee. Should not be too difficult of a game for Alabama, but weekend after that we head to Arkansas. To Fayetteville, to take on the Razorbacks. They have been very impressive so far. Jahmyr Gibbs leads the team in receptions with 14. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure how I'm feeling about that. I don't really like that.
Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously,
great talent.
The incredibly talented and dynamic transfer from Georgia Tech, an all-purpose back, has been sort of the safety release valve for Bryce Young in the passing game. Obviously, we have a lot of young wide receivers that are still developing chemistry with Bryce Young. But having Jahmyr Gibbs has been a tremendous, tremendous bonus for this Alabama team, and I think he's going to continue to be a dynamic playmaker in the passing game, even as Bryce Young continues to develop chemistry with all these wide receivers. The return of Cameron Latu, we saw him in the Texas game, but he had just come out of injuries, so he wasn't 100%, but we get to see him again make an incredible catch against ULM. I think having Cameron Latu back is really going to help stabilize this Alabama passing game as, again, Bryce Young continues to work with these new receivers. On another note, Amari DeBlack, true freshman tight end, had his first touchdown of the season, so congratulations, Amari. He's a very highly rated guy with a lot of upside in the passing game. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Jaleel Billingsley. But I think that he can be incredibly effective for us down the road as he continues to gain understanding of this offensive system. All right. Now, one interesting thing to note that Nick Saban had talked about in his press conferences, true freshman offensive lineman Tyler Booker has entered the competition at left guard with returning starter Javion Cohen. What are your takeaways? What are your feelings having a true freshman come in and compete with the guy who started all of last season at that position?
Competition, iron sharpens iron. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I think that's just how it should go. Your position is, nothing is ever set in life, you know, so you can't ever think that it's like that. Think that you can just cruise on, and when you lack, there's always someone behind you that wants your spot.
Oh, yeah. I think the best player is going to play. To me, Tyler Booker may have been the best left guard against ULM, but Javion Cohen does bring a tremendous amount of experience and did play fairly well last season. Another person who was in that competition is redshirt senior Kendall Randolph from Madison, Alabama. He played jumbo tight end for much of last season. Got an opportunity to compete for the left guard position. He started at the left guard position early on in the season against Utah State, played some there against Texas. But I'm thinking after this weekend where he played primarily jumbo tight end, we're seeing him sort of wean out of that competition, and it really looks like it's going to come down to Tyler Booker or Javion Cohen. Another fun thing, Alabama had 262 yards in punt returns, and that is without JoJo Earl, who is Alabama's starting punt returner. We saw Kool-Aid McKinstry have a tremendous game in the punt return. Unfortunately, never able to make it to the end zone, but fellow defensive back Brian Branch did, on this very first attempt, make it to the end zone. Special teams is important, guys, and if you can continue to flip field position on punts and on kickoffs, that is going to be tremendously beneficial for this Alabama team.
All three phases of the ball.
Yes. 100%. All right. Will Anderson Jr., probably one of Alabama's most favorited players, had a pick six. I mean, can this guy do much more on defense? Pick six, sacks, tackle for a loss, you name it. Will Anderson Jr. is doing it. Some fun things. Well, not necessarily fun things, actually. Some terrible things. Herm Edwards has been fired as the head coach of Arizona State. I don't know if you remember, but in 2020, the NCAA released some harsh regulations on recruiting and what head coaches can do and what they cannot do with recruits when they come to visit their campus. Herm Edwards was caught, along with several other members of his coaching staff, breaking those protocols. Many of them have been weaned out since then. I was actually shocked that they held on to Herm Edwards for so long, but it was announced Sunday that Herm Edwards and Arizona State are parting ways. Now begins the coaching search, just like Nebraska when they fired Scott Frost. Can you think off the top of your head of any guys that may be potential fits for this job?
I'm hearing Brian Harsin to Arizona State, but only time will tell on that. So that's the only guy I can really think as of now.
Yeah, Brian Harsin, not a great day for him. Penn State went down to Jordan-Hare, and well, quite frankly, Auburn got embarrassed. Yeah. Penn State beat them 41-12. There was, you know, this is not a great performance by Auburn. Penn State, here's padlock stat, 245 yards rushing. Anytime you give up 245 yards rushing, you're probably losing that game. Funnily enough, Auburn had success moving the football on the ground. They just couldn't score. They had some seriously costly turnovers. I think two picks on the day for Auburn. But let's see here. Yeah, TJ Finley threw an interception. Robbie Ashford, transfer from Oregon, also an interception. So two picks on the day. But Auburn had 119 yards on the ground and 296 yards receiving. So they were able to move the football. The only problem is they only scored one touchdown and they kicked two field goals. So, yeah.
Can score.
Not a great day. Conversely, Penn State, 245 yards rushing.
They need to get Bigsby more involved, is my say. My take on that.
Tank Bigsby, 9 carries for 39 yards, average of 4.3 yards per carry, had a long of 12 yards. Tank Bigsby is a very talented guy, one of the best running backs in the SEC. Their offense last year essentially was Tank Bigsby. Kind of expected it to be the same this year, but perhaps not.
Good win on Penn State. You know, going into Jordan-Hare, they wanted some of that Jordan-Hare magic. So good win on Penn State.
Yeah.
Coach Franklin.
And this was really interesting because Auburn last year went into State College. It was a wideout game. They were on the road, and they held their own against Penn State. It was a very close game. But I think what you're seeing now is Penn State finally getting a dynamic run game that they haven't had in the past two seasons. Nicholas Singleton, true freshman, had 10 carries for 124 yards with an average of 12.4 yards per carry, two touchdowns on the ground with a long of 54 yards. So they've got a dynamic running back now, and I think that it's really going to help balance out their offense. They had 232 yards passing on 17 receptions as a team. So Nittany Lions, I mean, that was a quiet statement game for them. I think that, you know, when you look at their schedule, it doesn't look too difficult moving forward. It doesn't have anything on it that you might think, you know.
They should be 5-0 coming into this Michigan game, October 15th. So,
yes, they have Central Michigan and Northwestern, and then Saturday, October 15th, like you mentioned, they go to Michigan, who is also undefeated and throwing up some insane stats on some, shall I say, less than opponents. No disrespect to Hawaii, but Michigan is having an easy time as of right now. That should be a fantastic matchup. I expect both of those teams to be undefeated in before that game. Hey, number 20, Wake Forest. I don't know if you caught this one. And they narrowly escaped Liberty. 37-36 was the final score. Hugh Freeze, I think, could be in line for one of these big coaching jobs. You know, he was the head coach at Ole Miss for several years, beat Nick Saban twice. Had some allegations come out about him, NCAA investigation. Ultimately, he is fired and picked up by Liberty, and he has had a tremendous amount of success going to three straight bowl games in his first 3 years and winning all of them.
Are you saying to Arizona State? Excuse me.
Well, either that or Nebraska. I'm not sure. True. And, of course, there's always other positions open at the end of the season. We'll just have to see what jobs are available. We will continue this excellent discussion of college football when we get back from the break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. I am your host, Aiden McGuirk, here with Rennell Foreman, talking a little college football. Elsewhere in the SEC, Florida took on South Florida Bulls, and man, what a nail-biter that ended up being. They narrowly escaped what would have been a major upset. South Florida kicker missed the game-tying field goal that would have likely sent them into overtime. It was a good kick, just a bad hold. You know, and that's something that Alabama fans know a little bit about last year, some bad holds. But hey, listen, this is the second time that Florida has struggled. Obviously, they lose to Kentucky. They get the week one win over what was a highly rated Utah game, but they've had some down games here as of late. Is Florida overrated?
No, I really believe Florida is not overrated. I think that the Utah game, Utah's a very good team, and we saw that in the Rose Bowl. They really took it to Ohio State there. This is Ohio State when they had every good receiver. They probably had the best receivers in the nation. So, Florida struggled this game, and I don't have any excuses for Florida. But, you know, they just need they need better quarterback play from AR-15, they call him. So they need better quarterback play, and they got to just figure out how to run the ball and use their weapons to their advantage. I feel like they're always super hyped up. They're super like, we're going to be great this year, but they always either over deliver, which was what they did with Utah, but the simple games like they can never have like a Alabama versus ULM game. You know, they really always a nail biter.
Yeah, yeah. Florida, another one of those currently delusional fan bases like Texas, thinking that they're back to national championship contention. Billy Napier is a really good head coach, coached for Alabama and Nick Saban for a little while. I like him a lot. I think that he will end up doing pretty good. Final score of 31-28. Again, kicker missing that game-tying field goal.
I do want to say that there's a big game on this week. I think game day is going to it. Tennessee and Florida. So we're going to see a lot about both teams.
Yeah, that will be a tremendous game. But Florida definitely needs to clean up a little bit, especially in run defense. They gave up 286 yards on the ground to South Florida. Now, granted, that was on 46 carries, so those guys were running the rock. But 286 yards is unacceptable for a Florida team going up against South Florida. And like you said, Anthony Richardson, man, he just needs to step it up, okay? In this game, he had zero touchdowns, 55.6% completion percentage, 85.6 passer rating, 112 yards in the air. Not fantastic for Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson, by the way, zero passing touchdowns on the season. He does have three rushing touchdowns against Utah, but zero passing touchdowns against Utah, Kentucky, and now South Florida. He was 14 of 35 against Kentucky for a completion percentage of 40, which is atrocious. 143 yards in that game. His best game, again, Utah, 17 of 24 for 168 yards, passer rating of 129.6, 70.8% completion percentage, which was incredible. But ever since that game, he has not been playing well. So we'd like to see Anthony Richardson step it up a little bit. If he can play like he did against Utah, the Florida Gators will be really good. They do go to Neyland Stadium to take on Tennessee this weekend. And like you said, ESPN Game Day will be there for that game. That is a tremendous matchup in the SEC. Keeping it with the SEC, Texas A&M, man, they're not playing clean football right now. They did make a switch to LSU transfer quarterback Max Johnson. Haynes King has been starting at quarterback the past two games, has played not great football. So they bring in Max Johnson, a lefty, and he led them to a 17-9 victory over Miami. I got to be honest with you, Miami should have won that game. 27 first downs for Miami with zero touchdowns in the game. Not great. I will note, though, Miami was missing several of their top pass catchers, and drops were a tremendous issue for that Miami Hurricanes team in this game. We all know as Alabama fans what it's like not to have elite wide receivers or not to have your top pass catchers in a game, i.e. national championship game last year. Who knows what would have happened if Jameson Williams never got hurt.
Yeah.
All right. Another big shocker, Washington beats number 11 Michigan State in Washington, 39-28. Washington has been quietly good this season, 3-0 in the Pac-12. That is a big win for first-year head coach Kalen DeBoer. Michigan State's defense did not look the part. Should we be paying more attention to Washington in the race for the Pac-12, given the vulnerabilities of Utah and Oregon that we saw in their Week 1 matchups?
I don't know. I think this was a big game. This is one of those games where you got a big team, top 25 team, almost top 10 team. I think they were ranked 11th coming in. And you know, the fans, it was packed, and they jumped on them fast. Pretty sure they scored 20 points in the second quarter after scoring a touchdown in the first. So he jumped on him fast, and Michigan State was trying to play catch up the rest of the way. So on the road. So, you know, I don't know if they're one of those teams. There's a lot of good teams in that in the West. You know, Utah's up there, of course. Oregon got a win. So Oregon, you know, I don't know. There's some tough teams out there. USC. Yeah.
Oregon, a big mover in the AP poll this week, which we are about to check into, after they beat number 12 BYU in Oregon. So tremendous win for first-year head coach Dan Lanning. But Michigan State really not doing very well after they lose Kenneth Walker III, their Heisman candidate running back. They only had 42 yards rushing in this game against Washington. Man, Michael Penix Jr., the transfer from Indiana to Washington, went off 24 of 40 for 397 yards, four touchdowns. Man, forgot how good he is when he is healthy, but he is.
They're definitely on the rise. That's tough. It's gonna be some solid matchups later in the season over there in the West.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think the Pac-12. Are they suddenly an interesting league? Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I will be interested to see that that November 12th matchup when Washington takes on Oregon. They may still be undefeated at that point. They play Stanford. They play UCLA, which will be a tough matchup. They play Arizona State, Arizona. So I think that could be a really pivotal matchup for the Washington Huskies. But we will have to keep our eyes on that. USC is continuing to dominate Lincoln Riley. I got my offensive gurus mixed up, but Lincoln Riley continues to get this offense for USC going. They beat Fresno, Fresno State Bulldogs 45-17. And the Fresno State Bulldogs now, they are not a terrible team. So that was a good win for the Trojans. I think that USC may be my pick to win the Pac-12 this season after we saw the weaknesses of Utah and Oregon exposed in their week one matchups. Just out of curiosity, who do you think will win the Pac-12 this season?
I don't know, man. It's tough. I think USC's that's like the rightful pick. That's the right pick after what we've seen. But Bo Nix, we know Bo Nix, we know what he does. Washington's on the come up. You know, Utah, we'll see about Utah. They have some tough games to play. Is BYU, that's a Pac-12 team, correct?
BYU is an independent.
Okay, independent. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they were GeoFi. Okay, got it. So it's gonna be interesting. Caleb Williams looks good. That's a Maryland boy. He came from DC, so he's a good cat. They got Jordan Addison, the receiver. So Lincoln Riley's an offensive guru. So.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley definitely a guy who likes to pad the stats with his quarterbacks. Very. Very talented and skilled offensive head coach. Another date to keep in mind, USC will take on the Utah Utes October 15th. That will be
big game.
A tremendous game to keep your eye on, assuming that both of these teams continue
at Utah, right?
To win. Yes, I believe so. Caleb Williams, though, 25 of 37 for 284 yards and two touchdowns. Yeah, great game. USC actually had a phenomenal game on the ground, 38 carries for the team, 233 yards in total, averaging 6.1 yards per carry. If you are USC and you're averaging 6.1 yards per carry, you're probably winning that game. Jordan Addison, 6 catches for 69 yards, a touchdown. So, yeah, him coming in from Pitt, the former Biletnikoff Award winner, and Mario Williams, one of Caleb Williams' favorite targets when they were both at Oklahoma, 6 catches for 77 yards, no touchdown though. So USC is doing some good things, keeping it in the Pac-12. Oregon, like you mentioned, getting that big win over the BYU Cougars. 41-20. Bo Nix had himself a clean game, not always the case, but he had a very good performance, going 13 of 18 for 222 yards and two touchdowns. Yeah, just a great performance by Bo Nix to help this Oregon team beat the top 15 BYU Cougars. Kind of a bounce back game for them after getting terribly embarrassed by Georgia. Yeah, Georgia just looks like a Death Star right now. They're not fun for other teams. Georgia taking care of South Carolina 48-7. South Carolina did not look very good. Another big game that I was looking at, Oklahoma taking on Nebraska. Nebraska was hyped up going into the season, and I have to be honest with you, I was riding the Nebraska train. That came back to bite me, man. Oklahoma beating Nebraska 49-14. Not a very good day for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. This season is a rebuilding season. They have to find a new head coach, hopefully somebody who has a history of rebuilding programs, who can get them on the right track. But Oklahoma continues to look impressive. Their offense really went off. Yes, their offense really went off in this game. All right, for our final 10 minutes here, the AP poll, got to talk about it every week. Probably put too much emotional investment about where our teams are ranked, but it is important to keep up with the rest of college football, so as to avoid being caught off guard when certain teams are better than you expected or worse than you expected. All right, coming in at number one, no shocker, the Georgia Bulldogs. I think they're the best team in the country right now.
No arguments.
Yeah, they've looked very impressive in all levels, defensively, offensively. Number two, our Alabama Crimson Tide. I think that they are going to correct some of the mistakes that they've made with these penalties over the last two games. And hopefully that offensive line can continue to develop as a physical offensive line, like Nick Saban said. Number three, Ohio State. Man, they dropped 77 points on Toledo.
Yeah, they did drop 77 points on Toledo. So,
yeah. I know a lot of people have them ranked number two, Alabama ranked number three.
No way. Yeah. No, that's not.
I like Ohio State's chances, though, for this Big Ten championship this season.
They get Michigan home, so you know, but they do have to play at Penn State, so we're gonna see how good Penn State is this year, you know. So there's some questions still over there in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
that's a good conference.
Ohio State's offense has looked good. They've had some injuries though in their wide receiving core, but when they are healthy, they are one of the best wide receiving cores in the country, and they can be an incredibly explosive offense. Coming in at number four, Michigan Wolverines. Again, they haven't really necessarily played anybody. They play Maryland up next. J.J. McCarthy has been awarded the starting quarterback position over incumbent starter Cade McNamara. I think J.J. McCarthy was probably the right move here. A bit more athletic.
Younger guy. Just, you know, hungry, you know.
Yeah.
That's this Michigan team, though. They're hungry, and their quarterback defines their personality as a non-program. So I'm excited about Michigan. They're definitely a team to watch for, especially in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I like Michigan a lot. Number five, Clemson. They play at Wake Forest. This is a game I will be highly interested in watching. Clemson struggled against Georgia Tech. They played La Tech last weekend. Not incredibly impressive performance. So I'll be interested to see how they fare against Wake Forest, which is one of the better teams in the ACC. Number six, Oklahoma. First-year head coach Brent Venables continuing to do good things. They play another big game against Kansas State and Deuce Vaughn. Great running back for them. Number seven, USC Trojans, Lincoln Riley squad. They play Oregon State. That'll be a good game. Oregon State, quietly a solid team. I think they're a little underrated, actually. Nothing has changed in the top seven from last week. Now we get into some movement as Kentucky leapfrogs Oklahoma State and jumps up to number eight after their obliteration of Youngstown. And Oklahoma State falls down to number nine. They play Arkansas Pine Bluff, so that should be an easy game for Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy. Number 10, Arkansas. This is a great game. Very excited. Arkansas plays Texas A&M this weekend at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, neutral site. Very excited to see.
It's a big time game.
Yeah, very excited to see that matchup. I think Arkansas
has a great chance to win that game.
Yeah, beat them last year.
Mm-hmm.
Watch A&M. They don't necessarily look that explosive on offense.
They don't even, their offense looks very plain. It's not like it's gelled together yet.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher receiving a lot of criticism about his offense. You know, former offensive coordinator for Nick Saban at LSU, offensive coordinator for Bobby Bowden at Florida State. So offense is his jam, and he has not been able to produce a top 100 passing offense the past two seasons so far. So be interested to see how that works out. And they've had some cultural issues here, had to suspend four players, including one of their star wide receivers, true freshman Evan Stewart, for some curfew violations. So that'll be an interesting thing to keep your eye on. In the world of transfer portal, if players are unhappy, they will up and leave. So that'll be something that I am interested to keep an eye on. Coming at number 11, Tennessee. Again, they play Florida. They're up four spots. Man, they are rocking and rolling on offense. Josh Heupel has them throwing the ball all over the place, running the ball with incredible efficiency. Defense remains to be a question for Tennessee, but they will be tested against Florida.
They should be tested, at least running the ball. There's a lot of talent on Florida's offense. They just don't utilize it.
Very talented. Number 12, North Carolina State, up four spots. That's another team that is still in contention for the ACC. They are 3-0. Number 13, Utah, up a spot. They play Arizona State this weekend. Number 14, Penn State, up eight spots after their routing of the Auburn Tigers. They get a cupcake this weekend with Central Michigan. Well, I say cupcake, you never know. Number 15, Oregon, one of our biggest movers after their win over BYU. They play Washington State. I think that that will be a very interesting matchup. Cameron Ward coming in as a transfer quarterback for Washington State. He has played very well, so I'll be watching that game closely. Number 16, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, up four spots after their dominant performance against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in Atlanta. Number 17, Baylor, sitting pat there, no movement with either 17 or 18, Washington. I felt like Washington would jump after beating number 11, Michigan State. Michigan State, actually the biggest mover, falling out of the top 25 completely. But Washington remains at that number 18 spot. They play Stanford. That will be a good game. BYU dropping seven spots after their loss to Oregon. They play Wyoming. The Florida Gators, number 20, dropped two spots after their very, very tight win against South Florida. They play Tennessee. Hey, while we're on it, who do you got in that game? Florida versus Tennessee?
I'm liking Tennessee. I'm thinking 28-17, Tennessee.
Okay, so not a crazy high-scoring game. I think it'll be a little bit higher, probably in the mid-30s for Tennessee, low 20s for Florida. But I agree with you. I do think Tennessee will come out on top there, and that should propel them to the top of the rest of the SEC East. Certainly not the top of the SEC East when you have giant Georgia there, but they will be the best of the rest, as they say. Number 21, Wake Forest down two spots. Even after that win, it was a very close win in a game that they should have completely dominated. They play Clemson this weekend, another matchup that we'll be watching closely. Texas dropping one spot after a very tight win against the UTSA Roadrunners. They play Texas Tech at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is quietly good. I will be interested to see how Texas handles Texas Tech with backup quarterback Hudson Card. Number 23, Texas A&M, actually up one spot after their victory over Miami, as unimpressive as it was. Yeah. They play Arkansas again in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. Number 24, down one spot, is Pittsburgh. Our A&M and Pittsburgh just flip-flopped. They play Rhode Island. And number 25, the biggest mover inside the top 25, Miami, dropping 12 spots. They play MTSU this weekend, so hopefully they'll be able to bounce back and get a win there. It's Mario Cristobal continues to rebuild that Miami program. Any final thoughts?
On the top 25, I'd say, Penn State, they look very good. That's one of the few teams that I really caught an eye for over the weekend.
Yes, Penn State currently 3-0, top 15 team, ranked number 14 in the country, according to the AP. If they continue to win, I think that they will climb and climb and climb. They look very good. They look balanced. Sean Clifford, a veteran quarterback with a solid passing attack, and now they have an elite running game. So thank you so much for tuning in to the student section. I've been Ada McGuirk with Rennell Foreman. We will see you next Monday at 7 o'clock.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.